Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
We know that for you, that vulnerability that you have shared that has been so transformative in your life, when you are speaking to either your community, your podcast listeners, or you're on a stage, how has vulnerability been a very effective way to communicate your message and your brand?
Beautifully said. And I think that for me, the two best ways to connect with anybody, whether it's an audience of 70,000 or it's one-to-one on a sales call, or maybe on a date. I think two ways to really connect are vulnerability and authenticity. And I know because I speak from contrast. And for a while, for 35 years to be exact, I was inauthentic. And I was never really vulnerable because, you know, when I grew up, like for a man to show their feelings and be super vulnerable, it was kind of looked at as like a weakness, I would say. And now, ironically, I think it's the exact opposite. And I mean, just look at like, for everybody listening today, like, who do you really connect with? Do you love the people that are perfect across the board? I never did. Like, even I like to give this analogy because I'm a bit of a nerd. When I think of like comic book characters, like I could never really relate to Superman. I mean, he was essentially like an alien. Like, I know there's kryptonite, but like, how can I relate to that? Batman was always my guy because he's a man and he puts on a suit and he's really rich and he fights crime. And to me, that was somewhat attainable. And he has a lot of flaws. I think everyone loves a hero's journey when they go through some stuff and then have the courage to get back up. That's what people really gravitate towards, like the Rocky movies. And if you're not vulnerable, that means you're not showing some of your scars and you're not letting people really in. And it's interesting because we're recording this a little bit after New Year's and, you know, it's become trendy for everyone to show their highlight reels of the previous year. And oftentimes you don't see many people showing some of the challenges or, you know, the tough moments. And just to be clear, those are inevitable with every year. There's good and bad, ups and downs and so forth. And so if you really want to resonate with somebody or connect to them at a deep, intimate level and build a rapport, you have to be willing to be vulnerable. It does take courage, but when you do that, it lets the other person or audience their guard down and gives them permission to be vulnerable as well. And that's when the deepest connections are formed. For the most part these days, I lean into vulnerability. Obviously, you know, you don't always show your whole hand to everybody. maybe your personal life or your family that, you know, you want to just keep under wraps, whatever the case may be. But for the most part, I like to disarm everybody. And the way to disarm people is to be vulnerable yourself because it's contagious. And then everyone really can lean in, be intimate. And that's when the real magic can happen. So of course, depending upon the room or the situation, I might dial it back a little bit. But for the most part, I like to come at people with vulnerability because I think it really does disarm them. And then right from the beginning, you guys can create some sparks. A lot of people come to me to coach them or help them with building the brand and putting themselves out there. I say humbly the success we've had. And I'm totally okay with giving that back because I want everybody to win and succeed and so forth. But a lot of people are afraid to put themselves out there because they might look silly, right? Or what if someone judges them? Or what if they look stupid? Whatever the case may be. And the irony is, like, if I go back to some of my content from a year ago, I'll have a good chuckle. If I go down like a highlight, forget about it. I'm dying. In fact, the first 8 months when I started my brand, I didn't have a laptop. I didn't have an LLC. I was just putting myself out there, bringing the passion and the energy and just trying to add value. And I would never delete that stuff because that was the beginning. It was like season one of your favorite show. And then obviously goes on to more of a budget and so forth. But you got to be willing to put yourself out there. And to be honest with you, I feel like you can relate to this. We're growing so rapidly now, like with the inner work and the spirituality and connecting and alignment and so forth. You're probably not the same person you were a month ago at this point. And it is what it is, but that's good because that means that you're continuing to evolve and expand and grow and shine your light and so forth. And so that quote always resonated with me as well, for sure. So many people want, like, how do I do this, right? Well, how do I build a brand? Or how do I get that? How'd you get those people on your podcast? And that's all important. But ultimately, in my opinion, it always comes back to mindset. You have to be available for it and so forth. And when I got to Wall Street, right after college, essentially, I was a fish out of water. I was very inexperienced. There's a lot of people out there that were doing very well for themselves and so forth. And I wanted to be great. And so out of nowhere, I just stumbled onto YouTube and started watching motivational videos. And that led me to NLP somehow, some way. And I became obsessed. And I remember I found a mentor in Manhattan here, and I would go and see him once a week for years. And I would just ask him to teach me everything I wanted to learn. Sometimes he would have to kick me out. He'd be like, "Craig, I really got to go. I got to swear." I said, "I got to do dinner with my wife." I'm like, "All right, just one more question." I was so fascinated with it. And essentially, it's funny because you can ask probably 100 people what NLP means that follow it, and you might get 100 different answers. For me, it was being able to reprogram my mindset. I can change the way I looked at the world. I could change my perspective. I can cultivate confidence. I can build rapport. And a lot of people talk about all the things that we need to add in life to be more successful. But one of the things that I learned in NLP are giving up the stories of our past. So essentially, the universe can write a new story. And a lot of the negative thoughts that most of us have and are just replaying, it begins to deactivate the law of attraction or manifesting or being able to do great things. Negative self-talk, anger, guilt, shame, unworthiness. A lot of us begin to cultivate these thoughts, which turn into beliefs, and then we actually give them energy. And as a result, we're creating resistance to being able to manifest what we desire in this world, whether it's success, relationships, wealth, happiness, peace, all the things. Everything is energy. And so I built up a lot of those limiting beliefs for quite some time. I don't even know how. The news, society, maybe my parents, they did the best they could. And so I had to uninstall and unlearn a lot of the beliefs that I had and then reinstall more empowering and enriching ones that gave me opportunities and possibilities as opposed to limitations. And an example I'll give is there's a movie, The Matrix. I say movie like most people probably heard of it. When I first saw it, and I write about this in the book a lot, there's a whole chapter, I thought it was like this cool sci-fi movie with Keanu Reeves. But then I went deeper and I rewatched it again, and I encourage everyone to give it another watch. And basically, when he becomes unplugged, it's like he's finally removing this filter, the society, the limitations, all the stuff that we've been programmed to believe. And then he could look at the world from a different lens, a different perspective. And where he once saw limitations, now he sees possibilities and opportunities. That's really what it is. It's changing your frame of the world. People don't actually look at the world as it is. They create this frame based upon their belief system. And the good news is we weren't born with any of these beliefs. And so now that we know that, we can uninstall them and replace them with more empowering ones. And as a result, we could start doing new things. We could take in new information. We could make progress. We can think bigger, play bigger, and so forth. And so that was my understanding of NLP in the beginning. And I would learn how to develop confidence, how to approach a pretty girl when I was single and I used to be insecure, whatever the case may be. On sales calls, I was able to build rapport and create connections. The language inside my head, I started to be nice to myself and positive, and it just changed everything for me. So when I think of NLP, I think of a technology and a great tool to have in your arsenal where you can reprogram and remove a lot of the limiting beliefs that we've cultivated. So interesting because, last year, one of the coolest, most expansive things we've done, and it's interesting, last year we had record business and all that stuff, and a lot of highlights, blah, blah, blah. But the thing that was probably the most fulfilling to me is because I do so much coaching now, I just wanted to be a student again. And I started taking a class at the Kabbalah Center.
I
And
love it.
I'm going to put Kabbalah on anyone. I like to take things I like from different things and make them my own and leave the rest. But Kabbalah is really all about taming the ego, or they call it the opponent, so to speak. And one of the things that they're really big on is sharing without an agenda. So in other words, if you can get to that point, that's when you just receive so much more light, or in our terms, abundance. And anytime you do something to like get recognition or something like that, you're operating from ego. Even
Yeah.
like somebody wants to give like a big check to charity, but they want people to know that they did that. That's not doing the right thing. That's what they teach. And it's very interesting to me, but the ego, we don't want to completely dismantle it. It's there to keep us in check, but it's an opportunity to overcome it at any time. When we have an opponent to overcome, then we can gain more expansion or light or connection or whatever it is that we're looking for, which leads to all the great stuff. So it's good to have it there, and it's great to overcome it, but you have to be able to identify it. right? And you said something earlier about you want to react sometimes when something happens to the business, but now you know you got to the point where you have so much growth where you take a step back. Like, let me take a second and respond from a level-headed frequency, so to speak. And that shows a ton of growth. And that's something I'm working on myself. Sometimes you just want to react, or you see a negative comment, whatever the case may be. And you're just so quickly to want to respond, but that is your ego. We know that we have an opportunity to say, okay, let me practice one of my greatest superpowers, which is resistance. I'm not going to succumb to it and take a step back. So the ego is always there. Obviously, I mean, you look around, you see a lot of people have bigger ones than others and so forth. But in this game of life, if you're able to identify it and have the practices in place to overcome it, that's when we really live in that, you know, abundant, unlimited field of potential and so forth. When I say enlightened, like, my definition is, if you're enlightened, that means that you believe that there's a lot more going on than just this 3D 1% reality. Most of the stuff is happening right this second is beyond our logic. So as long as you know that, you have an opportunity to tame the ego. And the ego is very dangerous. And I'll tell you this, like, it's interesting. I also wanted to post a win. We were doing our books and so forth for the year, and we hit a major milestone. And I was thinking, I was like, should I post this? It's just the ego. But, you know, a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs look at me as somebody that totally reinvented themselves, didn't have a business plan per se, and really has made a gigantic impact and unapologetically made a lot of money too. And that's inspiring to people. Make a long story short, I didn't post it. I still might, but I was wrestling with, is this coming from ego or whatever the case may be? And I decided to just resist. But ultimately, a lot of people that are not manifesting the life or the things that they desire in this world, and there's a lot of people listening today, like, how come that person always gets the breaks? Or how come her TED Talk went viral? Whatever the case may be. A lot of the times, it's because you're allowing your ego to dictate. And if this conversation, we take one thing away, it's really start to identify what is the ego and give yourself an opportunity to overcome that. And that's when all the blessings will really begin to manifest. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.